I have in terms of not being a diehard Knicks fan is what I'm about to tell you is filled with no emotion. I'm going to be emotionless. All right. By the way, Tiki off today. He's back tomorrow. Sean Morash in the big chair. I can't speak for Sean. I can't speak for Tommy. They're emotional people. What I'm about to tell you has zero emotion. This is being a sports fan in this town, being a sports fan, just watching it and consuming it my entire life. Okay? Before we get into the X's and O's and the changes that Tom Thibodeau made and what the Knicks did perfectly in coming back in Game 3 and what they need to do in Game 4, without any emotion, I tell you, the Knicks are winning this series. They are winning this series. And I don't say that to jinx you. I don't say that filled with emotion. I say it because how many times, and I'll give you examples, and I'll give you examples that hurt each and every one of you. How many times has teams had a 2-0 lead, a lead in Game 3, or an opportunity in Game 3, blow that opportunity, and we sit there weeks, months, and years later and say they lost that series in Game 3? And I'll hurt you to start, Sean. Rangers-Devils 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Bang.
You could do Rangers-Lightning, too.
You could do Rangers. That's a great one. That's a better one.
Yeah.
Two Ranger examples. I don't mean to hurt you.
No, I lived it.
You lived it. Up 2-0 on Tampa, Eastern Conference Finals, a leading Game 3. You lost the series for a variety of other reasons, but it was right there to go up 3-0. Same thing with New Jersey a year earlier. Knicks fans, let's make it personal. Last year, you were up 2-0 on the Indiana Pacers, and it was right in front of you in the final few minutes of this game. And you could talk about attrition, which you do fairly, Tommy. You could talk about all the things that led to that series loss. They had Game 3 won. My basketball team back in 2021. They had a lead with less than a minute to go. Game 3. Chance to go up 3-0. Joe Harris. Bruce Brown. Missed open jumpers. Open floaters. When you blow a chance in Game 3, you may not think it in the moment. You may not want to admit it in the moment. Everything changes. So, Knicks fans, hear my voice. Before we talk about all the changes Tibbs made and all the X's and O's, you have this now because the Pacers blew it and you took it from them. And I think we're going to be sitting here weeks from now, months from now, years from now, and you will tell your kids stories about Karl Anthony Towns' fourth quarter and stories about Tom Thibodeau finally changing the starting lineup. You will tell him about a guy named DeLon Wright. Everything changed with Game 3, and I have history on my back that tells me that.
I disagree with you just from the standpoint of recent history, Evan, and I get it, right? A lead like that for the Pacers to blow feels like you're giving back some of what you built in, especially Game 1 in that comeback. But this has also been the Pacers' MO throughout this postseason. Maybe not the leads in Game 3, but the give back in Game 3. They were up 2-0 against the Bucks and lost that Game 3. They were up 2-0 versus Cleveland and lost that Game 3. And I remember specifically in the Cleveland series, less or so in the Bucks series, thinking, okay, of course, this is where the better team is going to prevail and figure out a way to win this series. And then the Pacers did not let it get to that point in each of those Game 4s. And I think that's what's ahead of the Knicks tonight, is while they might be feeling some momentum back, and maybe they've found something with some of their rotations, maybe DeLon Wright now is going to become some kind of great defensive story for them. But ultimately, this Indiana Pacer team still has in the back pocket that they, in the previous two rounds, have been here before on the precipice of blowing a 2-0 series lead and giving it all back and having the series tied. So yeah, your comparisons with the Rangers work, but the comparisons with the Indiana Pacers are, they're built for finding their groove back
they
in Game
4. They didn't almost blow leads to teams not named the New York Knicks.
I agree.
And that's the difference. And the story of this Knicks season all year long, it's part of why they've been some incredible as a roller coaster ride, where I can't even get on fans who go back and forth about this team because they've given you every reason to go back and forth. They're a roller coaster ride this entire season. The Knicks are different than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Knicks are different than any of those other teams. Plus, Indiana was up 20. Like, think about this, Knicks fans. On Sunday night, wherever you were, whether it was a barbecue, though it was cold outside, whether it was inside, whether it was at a bar, whether it was at a friend's house, you thought they were dead. Down by 20, it was over.
Some of us at plus 800 didn't think they were dead.
Well, that's called insurance policies. You're cursing out the coach. You're firing the coach. You're trading Karl Anthony Towns. I should have saved the collection of tweets that I saw Sunday night about how Cat's got to go, Cat's a loser, Cat sucks, Cat's an idiot, catch this, catch that. And it's a testament to the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau and Karl Anthony Towns especially, that they erased that.
They did.
And that's the difference between the other comparisons you give. You let a team, who I think is more talented than the Indiana Pacers, you let a team back off the mat. And the Knicks have proven once and again, over and over again, they're never dead. They came back from 20 down for the third time in this postseason. That's absurd.
Yeah, they are the biggest group of cockroaches we have seen in New York sports in quite some time. They never die. They never go away. But, Evan, every game is a different envelope. And asking the Knicks now to have that same formula they had, which, by the way—
Well, they're not going to go down by 20. I think that's the difference.
All right, well, can Jalen Brunson stay out of foul trouble tonight so he's actually available for most of the fourth quarter to hit shots? That's been a big story for him the last, you know, round and a half now in the postseason. Obviously, the Aaron Nesmith injury is going to be telling tonight for Indiana. That's a pretty big deal as well. But Karl Anthony Towns is who he is. And he had a monstrous fourth quarter. He's not going to replicate that. So the formula that existed in game three, and we'll see what the way the rotations and the bench goes to. I don't know how you lean on that exact formula. You want to say you're not going to go down by 20. That's fine. Then tonight's got to be Brunson out of foul trouble and take over in the fourth.
No one leans on the same formula. It's funny. Going into game two, we were on the air and we were talking about what happened in game one. And I used the kind of the same thing you said. You can't lean on the same expectations. Everything different will happen in a game two. And the example I used was Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam could go drop 35. And he did. Like, things change from game to game. So it's not about Cat's going to dominate like the way he did in the fourth quarter. It's about the fact that you led a team that I think is as good as you, if not better, off the mat. And we saw this last year on the opposite direction when the Knicks let the Pacers off the mat in game three. And I remember I watched that game at Citi Field. It was a Friday night. The Mets were playing the Braves that night. Took my kids to the game. It was a wild bleep show. You know what it's like when you take your kids out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still focusing on this Knick game. And when Indiana pulled it out the way they did, and I think it was Nembhard who made the three in the final minute of the game, as I walked out of Citi Field that night, Mets lost to the Braves, I said, boy, this could be the game you always remember. Because when you're up 2-0 and you have a chance to go up 3-0 and essentially put a team away, and you blow an opportunity right in front of you, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, it comes back and bites you in the ass. I just gave you 4 examples, and they're all recent. Like, every example I gave, the 2 Ranger examples, the Knicks from last year, the Nets from 21, dude, that's all recent.
You know,
I didn't go back to the 80s.
You know what? But you know what game 3 reminded me of if I was a Pacer fan? It actually reminded me of the big Christmas game with the Yankees in Cleveland when we sat here the day after saying, oh, the Yankees let Cleveland off the hook. Big Christmas. Remember we debated how much they would, you know, the Yankees could now choke this series?
Sure.
And what happened? The Yankees came out in game 4, went back to their formula and took care of business.
That is a good example of a team losing a game like that and then kicking them again. You're right. There are examples of it. I'm telling you, more times than not, you let a team back up, especially a team as good as the Knicks.
But it's Rick Carlisle coaching. They still have the coaching advantage in this series, and I think that's proven to be the case for 2 games.
He's a hater, man.
I'm not being a hater.
Are you listening to this crap?
You mean the guy that wore a Pacer jersey last week? Is that who we're talking about, Sean?
Don't you kind of feel me, though, bro?
I could feel the momentum of that series changing as soon as, and this is what I would say to Knicks fans, this series is so easy to get a gauge on. Number one positive, Tommy told you, 7, so it's going to go 7. There is a Pacer fan commenting and being a commenter on the game. When Reggie Miller was crying going into halftime, it was a wrap. The Knicks were winning that game because he could feel it. Oh boy, 13, they let him around, they keep hanging around. When I heard him saying that, I was like, bro, this game is an absolute wrap. Sean could tell you I was texting it the whole game.
I'm like,
this game is over. The Knicks are going to rip their hearts out. We get the payback from game 1, and in series where there's momentum, the momentum is now all on the side of the Knicks.
Yeah, I didn't jump to your side that quickly, because I think like most, when Indiana went up by 20, and the Knicks looked like a done team. They did. I'll admit it. They looked like a team that was just giving up. They looked like a team that was playing stupid basketball. Yep. Yet Tom Thibodeau tried to change things up. It wasn't really working. I didn't flip until the very end of the third quarter, because what the Knicks did, you call them cockroaches, they never go away. And when you're trying to make a comeback, and we saw this in the 2 games against Boston where they were down big, you need to have those mini runs where you go to halftime, and it's not 18, but it's 13.
Right.
You go to the fourth quarter, it's 10, it's not 16. You need to win those final few possessions of quarters and halves to keep things close. And I thought the close of the third quarter, believe it or not, was when I started to think, you know what? They got them right where they want them.
You could feel it.
Because you could feel the pressure and you could feel everything change. Now, you needed someone to step up, and it turned out to be Karl Anthony Towns, who had his moment because he was dominating in the fourth quarter. You know the only thing that stopped Karl Anthony Towns? A BS travel call. That's the only thing that would stop Karl Anthony Towns in the fourth quarter. Because let's be honest, if you want to go letter of the law, that's a travel, fine. When do they call that?
Well, that's true.
They never call that.
There was a couple of those in game three.
I understand, but that one jumped out at me as, all right, you got to be kidding me. And once the Knicks took the lead, my thought was, you can never give it back. And they never did. Indiana tied the game, but they never gave it back. And they grabbed it from them. And I thought the final quarter of this game, to me, and we'll find out if I'm right, we'll find out if we're all right in the next couple of days, I think it was the entire series. I think it was indicative of them grabbing a series back that initially Indiana took by stealing game one and winning game two. And we've said this a lot, so I'll say it again. Home court advantage means nothing. I've been saying this since the first round. I'll repeat it again. So whether the Knicks lose, win tonight, Madison Square Garden, India, it doesn't matter. The Knicks can win there. They can win here. We can throw that crap out the window. But I think they let a team that you all ruled out, we all ruled out at different times this season, they let them back up. This is the Undertaker, Jeff. When he's in the casket.
Sits up.
And he's dead. And he just sits his ass up.
Now I'm picturing Positive Tommy doing that.
But he never gave up. That's the difference.
Publicly.
No, I never gave up.
You always believed in game three.
Yes.
Okay.
When did I ever say anything off air that they weren't going
to
win that
I'm
game?
I'm not. I'm just trying to get inside your mind.
No. I, in fact, was mad at myself that at halftime I didn't tweet out, take it to the bank, they're winning this game. Because they have the freezing cold takes. I would have been a freezing hot take. You have to do me a favor as a friend.
Yeah.
Evan, you have to. You have to be dead honest with me
right
now.
Go ahead. I will be honest about everything about this series. I'm being honest right now.
I agree.
I picked the Knicks to lose this series. Game three has changed everything based on the history of what I've watched over the last 5 years. I ain't lying.
And that's where I'm going with this.
Go.
If the Timberwolves were up 3-1, would you think this series was over?
If the Timberwolves were up 3-1, I don't know what that means.
Meaning, you know that the Thunder are waiting for us in the finals. Are you more willing to concede this series knowing that the challenge in the next series is a lot tougher?
No, has nothing to do with the NBA Finals.
Then we're good, Sean, you suck.
Has nothing to do with the NBA Finals.
Why do I suck?
Because you wore a Pacers uniform last week. We're going to forget that.
First of all, yeah, I had some fun with it. Okay, I don't like the Knicks. I grew up a Nets fan. That's fine. All I'm telling you, Tommy, is these NBA playoffs have been the definition of expect the unexpected.
They might
be my favorite NBA playoffs in about 20 years. So tonight, if you're all geared up and you think that game three changed everything for the Knicks, you may be right, but my gut is telling me expect the unexpected, and I think the Knicks get punched in the face tonight.
Well, look, you are right. You're right about this. This NBA playoff and this series. Like, look at these three games we have witnessed.
Just insane.
Nothing makes sense.
No.
No, I'd be the first to admit it. And when we were debating and we're all picking who's going to win this series, how it's going to go, I admitted it. I said, look, I made a pro list. I made a con list. I can't figure this thing out. I think it's very, very close. And I hate to flip in the middle of a series, but when you see a team up 2-0, up 20 points in the first half, it's over. It's done. Like, I'll admit, I will take my IBO hat off for a second. As the leader of the coalition, I was dancing in my parents' house. Me and my dad, he's in the coalition too. I was like, can you believe it? Can you believe these bastards are going to get swept?
Were you high-fiving?
There were some high-fiving. So I admit
that's rough.
It.
Even
I admit, and I raise my hand, that I thought that.
Yeah.
But the way this team fought back, everything about it, between Jalen Brunson's ass being glued to the bench until there was a minute and a half to go, between the domination of Karl Anthony Towns and what we saw in the fourth quarter of this game, between Josh Hart looking like a different player defensively after the self-benching that took place, we'll get into that a little bit later on, between Tom Thibodeau not just changing up his rotation, but saying, ah, screw it, I'm going to run out there.
Let's empty the bench.
Landry Shamet, DeLon Wright, yeah, why not? Between all of that, and then winning the way they did, yeah, everything changed. I really do. Now, what's going to happen tonight as we lead up to game four? I don't know. because I can see the Knicks losing tonight and winning the next three games. That wouldn't stun me at all.
It wouldn't either.
It just wouldn't.
Nothing should stun you about this NBA postseason.
The only thing I feel somewhat confident about is when we are writing the obituary of this series, good or bad, I believe game three is going to be a game, believe it or not, that lives in history forever. Because the Knicks were dead, they were done. You say dudes, dogs, damage. I say they were dead and they were done. And they rose up. And I think everything about this series has changed. Everything.